We're doing Birkat Rabbeinu. We're in the middle of the 46th chapter. We're up to page Kufayin Tet in the Shaila Mora Eshkol edition, by the two stars in the middle, where it says Ben Betera Omer in the middle of the page. Ben Betera says we left off with a discussion of Moshe on top of the mountain. Moshe went up to Sinai, and we had the whole discussion of the argument with the angels, who's going to get the Torah, and we continue, Ben Betera Omer. Ben Betera says, Arba'im Yom Asa Moshe Bahar. Moshe spent 40 days up on that mountain, Doresh B'Divrei Torah V'Choker B'Otiyotah. He was deriving laws from the words of the Torah, and he was looking into the words of the Torah, the letters of the Torah, where you're supposed to have an extra letter, a missing letter, and what it indicates. So Moshe Rabbeinu is spending 40 days up on that mountain learning. And here maybe there's room to discuss a little bit what's going on here. The Gemara in Menachos says that when Moshe Rabbeinu came up to Sinai, he found Hashem tying tagim to the letters. What is a tag? So everyone will tell you the simple reading of a tag is a crown. But the truth is that tag can mean a crown, but it could also mean a delineated point. If you look at the Rambam in his description of how to write the Parsha of Shema, you find that the Rambam says that there are all kinds of special letters in Shema. For example, did you know, I'm not only talking about the big ayin, you all know there's a big ayin in Shema, right? Shin Mem Reh ayin is a big ayin, and the Dalit is big. Okay, but did you know that there are places in the Torah where you're supposed to write a pay like this? No, double pay. Pay inside a pay. And there are places in the Torah, the Rambam writes, that we know that a dalit ordinarily goes like this, with a little tag on top, but did you know there are places that it's supposed to get a mark like this? And ordinarily an aleph goes like this, but there are places where the aleph is supposed to get little crowns over here. There are all kinds of crowns on tradition that we lost. We don't have them anymore. But the Rambam quotes them, and other Rishonim quote them, and if you find ancient Sifrei Torah, you open them up and suddenly you see pays like this, like an old German Sifrei Torah, and you see all kinds of funny little markings all over the Sefer Torah. And the word tag, it seems from the Rambam, doesn't only mean the standard crown that Shatnez gets. Yeah, you know Shatnez gets the letters that have a Zion in them. So you have the Zion, right? Let's say this is a Zion, so you put your little crowns on the Zion. And then you have the letters Shatnez, which all have a Zion in them, yeah? So the Shin has this Zion over here, which gets its crown. And the Ayin has its Zion over here, which gets its crown. And then the Tet also has its Zion, Shatnez, yeah? And the Nun is the same. The Nun is also with the Zion, which gets its crown. Shatnez, Zion, gets. The Gimel is also a Zion with a crown, yeah? And the Tzadi, Shatnez gets, has its Zion over here. Yeah, so you put the crown on the... Okay, so Shatnez gets are the letters that have a Zion in them, and they all have a crown. So the Gemara in Menachos says, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Sinai, he found the Ribon Shel Olam putting tagin on letters. So we ordinarily assume that means Hashem says kosher tagin laosios, which the simple understanding is Hashem was tying crowns onto the letters. Really? So if you look at the word kosher could mean tying. The word kosher could mean forming a code, forming a riddle. And we see, it seems, that the tagim, the signs on the letters, which we don't do anymore, but they used to have many, many more signs on the letters throughout the Sifrei Torah, they indicate how you darshan. What word you're supposed to learn this from, what letter you're supposed to learn that from.
There was a whole tradition on putting all these little crowns all over. So over the years, we stopped doing that. We don't darshan anymore, and whatever. We don't do it anymore. If you look in the Rambam, you'll see there's a description of all kinds of things that we don't do.
So is it copied from one another? I can understand that we have no tradition anymore.
That deserves a longer discussion. Like Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam Tvilin, like Machlok Spishama Beisil, how many strings should be in a tzitzis. Okay, so... that deserves a broader discussion. How you have machlokes, and Rav Sadia Gaon wrote a letter about it, deserves learning. Bezat Shem, if you remind me, we could learn that here on Thursday nights. Just remind me, and you got to remind me because I got to get copies for everyone. So maybe next time, next chulin, we'll do that a little bit. We'll start learning Rav Sadia Gaon's letter on that because it's an important letter. Okay, yeah. I'm unaware of a place that validates that. Meaning there are places where it says that's not kosher. I know the printers do that. But I'm unaware. I don't remember everything off the cuff, but I'm unaware of a place that says that's okay. You don't see a Sefer Torah written that way. You see printers doing that.
I'm pretty sure I've seen a Sefer Torah like that.
Shom?
It's a vague memory.
Okay, yeah.
We found these ancient Sefer Torahs with the crown markings in the letters. Wouldn't we then be able to say, these are where the crowns are, and then put in all Sefer Torahs that we write from then on?
That's a good question, which deserves a discussion later. But that's going too much off topic.
For me, why is it important? Why is it important?
So it's possible that this was part of the code that helped them retain the tradition of how to darshan. Remember, he had an oral law, and it's derived from the Torah. Why am I quoting all this? Because it's relevant to our Midrash. The Midrash says Moshe was darshaning the words of the Torah and looking into the letters. So you could become very Kabbalistic and say every letter represents a whole world, and that's what Moshe was doing. But if you want to be more simple like me, then you could say, yeah, the letters had signs on them that corresponded to the drashos, which Moshe had to remember when he comes off of Sinai. So he's not only learning the drashos, he's also looking at the letters and the this marking here and that marking there, which is there to remind him how to dash in the...
It wasn't encoded once upon a time. Once upon a time, it was like way back, it was encoded. It was like people knew what it meant.
Well, don't forget, one little line doesn't tell you that much. You have to know how to decipher the code, meaning a lot of it still remains in the head, but there are codes, meaning it helps. It does make it easier.
Do we have an example, one example of what one code means?
Sure, we have dots in the Torah, where Chazal darshan it in last week's Parsha, Esav kissed him, so there are dots on the Vayishakeyu, so those dots indicate, Rashi tells us.
The Rambam says that these things are for
darshaning. The Rambam calls them tagim. I don't remember as far as the darshaning. I don't remember. I heard that from Rav Shmuel Schneiden. I don't remember where he quoted it from. I don't remember. I have to ask him.
So, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't remember he couldn't see the dots in order to remind himself of what he learned in darshaning.
Why is that so difficult?
Because he was a human being, but he got the whole Torah. So if he got the whole Torah on his shoulders, how come we say Dafka? Because the point is the tagging we need to, it's also to be reminded of what he learned.
So let's ask differently. If he's going to be so miraculous, what does he need 40 days from? Do it in 1 second. Go up and come back down.
You know why he was there for 40 days?
Right. So we also don't know why he needed the markings. You want to understand it this way? Understand this way. You want to understand that way? Understand that way. Fine. We don't begin to understand what it means for a human being to be 40 days and 40 nights with Hashem, learning from Hashem, without food and drink. We don't understand. Okay, so to start discussing little nuances of what we don't understand, okay, I don't know. I'm just addressing it because otherwise the Medrash is difficult to understand. What does the Medrash mean? He's deriving the letters. So, again, you could go the Kabbalistic route and say, there are all kinds of secrets in the letters. Fine, I don't know what I'm talking about, so I'm very comfortable talking about what I don't know. Because then I could say anything. Fine, I don't know, okay. But if I want to go more with the Pshat, so then that works. ולאחר 40 יום לקח את התורה וירד בעשור לכל ששווה ביום כיפור. So at the end of the 40 days, he took the Torah, notice the words, and he went down on the 10th of the 7th month, on Yom Kippur, on the 10th of Tishrei. V'inchila liYisrael l'chok olam. What beautiful wording. Hinchila, he gave it as the heritage of Israel, to be their eternal statute. Sh'ne'ema v'aytazot lachem l'chukat olam. So again, here you have to wonder, what's going on here? Number one, is he the one giving us the heritage? And the answer is yes. Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai umsara. Moshe gave it over. You see, the Mishnah stresses Moshe. The Pasuk, Torah tzivalanu Moshe morasha kilat Yaakov. The Torah is attributed to Moshe. It is called Torah's Moshe. And that's why Chazal say, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, put your name in there. And Moshe said, no. Moshe said, I don't want me connected to the Torah. It's your Torah. Why doesn't the Torah begin with, Hashem said to Moshe, write this. Bracious bar Elohim. No, it doesn't start that way. Because Moshe didn't want it. There are midrashim that discuss. Moshe didn't want his name in there. And yet Hashem said, you don't want it, but it is going to be called your Torah. So firstly, there's an interesting concept here that Moshe is the one that gives it to us as a heritage. That's point number one, which requires work. Point number two, if you'd ask me, I'd say the Torah, well, the Torah has mitzvos, the Torah has mishpatim, the Torah has chukim. You want to ask me which word best describes the whole Torah? I don't know. I'd say mitzvos, commandments. I wouldn't say chukim. I wouldn't say he gave Israel an eternal statute. Really, most of the Torah is illogical, is beyond our logic. I would have said the other way. Most of the Torah we could understand.
Chukim is in law, right?
Chok is a statute. It's what's said to be done, and you don't necessarily understand it. That's a chok. Now, here we are told that the Torah was given as a chok olam, as an eternal statute, and perhaps part of the understanding of that goes in line with the Rishonim on the Mishnah in Brachos, the Mishnah in Megillah. The Mishnah says, if a person says, Al kan tzipo yagiu rachamecha, he says, God, just like you had mercy over the bird, that you shouldn't take the bird together with the baby, so that you should have mercy over me. So we say that's blasphemy. Well, what do you think? You know what you're talking about? You're going to start telling God why he gave this mitzvah, that mitzvah. He gave you statutes, you just do. So there's a discussion among the Gemara and among the commentaries. What does that mean, he gave you statutes? Why can't you say that it was out of mercy for the mother bird? So the Rambam says, because if God had mercy, he'd tell you don't eat it, be vegetarian. If the whole idea was mercy, so then don't take it altogether. The idea isn't mercy. And then there's an understanding that says, no, it's all statutes. You don't understand God. You're performing the Torah because God said so. And even what you think you understand, you have to realize you don't really understand. So that, if that's the line of reasoning, then we could understand why over here, the stress is we were given the statute as a heritage. Rabbi Yitzchak Yomer, Karuva Torah, Matzu Katuv Ba, V'initem Nafshotechem. So the Jewish people got the Torah and they start learning. It's Yom Kippur. And they're reading through the Torah. How did they have so many copies to read from? I don't know. How were they all reading from the Torah? So I guess they had one public reader and everyone was listening. But it's Torah Shebichtav. So, okay, whatever. Somehow they were reading in the Torah and they came across the Pasuk, that's where the Medrash words it, that says, you should fast today. So they announced on that day, everyone has to fast. That's funny. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down on Yom Kippur and he doesn't tell them, hey guys, it's Yom Kippur, no eating. Isn't that what he should do? Let me tell you a story. You probably remember this. 2 years ago on Yom Kippur, we finished davening. Beautiful davening here at Machon Meir. And a new student walks over to me and says, see you after Yom Kippur. So I say, what do you mean? So he says, I'm going to catch a cab to Tel Aviv.
Really?
Yeah, really. In the middle, in front of everyone. You know, we just finished Yom Kippur davening. Everyone's going out of shul together. And the guy goes over and tells me, I'll see you tomorrow. I'll see you after Yom Kippur.
Arvit,
Yom Kippur just started. He was there for the Arvit. He finished his Arvit. And he says, I'll see you after Yom Kippur. So I said, well, what do you mean? Where are you going to be tomorrow? So he says, no, I'm going to go to Tel Aviv now. I'm going to catch a cab. So I stood there for a second. I wasn't sure if he was joking or serious. Then I realized he was serious. So I said, okay, have a safe trip. What can I say? What am I supposed to say? So Moshe Rabbeinu comes off the mountain, and people are having steaks. People are lighting fires. And it's Yom Kippur. And the Medrash tells us that Moshe didn't say a word. The Medrash says they started learning. They started learning. They came up to the pasuk that says, hey, you're supposed to fast today. Oh, so we're not supposed to be eating today. So they declared today is a fast day. They declared everyone has to fast. Young, old, men, women. Interesting, isn't it? The Medrash tells us, you know, the Medrash doesn't come and say, Moshe didn't say anything. The Medrash just tells us, they opened this Torah, they started learning, they came across the pasuk, and they declared. So by default, I guess we understand that Moshe wasn't about to tell them. Isn't that nice? You see? Patience. Ve'ilulei Yom HaKippurim lo haya ha'olam omed. If it weren't for Yom Kippur, the whole world wouldn't be around. Sheyom HaKippurim mechaper ba'olam hazeh uva'olam haba. Because Yom Kippur attains atonement in this world and in the world to come. And really, this is a phenomenal chiddush, what the Medrash just said, because the Ramban, we never finished that Ramban, did we? The Ramban's letter about Rosh Hashanah. We started it. I don't remember if we finished it.
I think I didn't start.
Started it with someone this year. I started with some of you guys this year, and I don't think we finished it. The Ramban, you were there.
Okay. Yeah,
so the Ramban's letter, he says, Rosh Hashanah is all about this world. Rosh Hashanah, everything you're getting judged is whether there'll be good crops, good parnasa, health. It's all the physical world. It's everything about Olam Hazeh. So we'd understand from that, Yom Kippur is the ceiling of that decree. So if Rosh Hashanah is all about this world, Yom Kippur should be the continuation all about this world. Comes the Medrash and says, no, Yom Kippur is not only about this world. Yom Kippur is also about the world to come. Shneimar Shabbat Shabbaton hu lachem. As the verse says, this is a Sabbath of sabbatical for you. Shabbat, ha'olam hazeh. Shabbaton, why does it repeat a double sabbatical? To tell you, ha'olam haba, that it refers to the world to come as well, which is an eternal sabbatical. So that needs work. That needs work. Okay. So the fact that I don't eat and drink has some relevance to a world where you don't need to eat and drink. The fact that I suffer by not eating and drinking has some relevance to a world where I'm not interested in eating and drinking.
Isn't that the whole point of Sfan and Gemish? When you're doing mitzvot, if you're doing mitzvot, I can't carry the whole
Torah. Could be, yeah. Could be. But then what's special about Yom Kippur? Then every mitzvah is that way.
Okay.
Huh? The question is, why is the Medrash zoning in on it? We say Shabbos is Mein Olam Haba. So now you're at Shabbos, I could understand why it's Mein Olam Haba. I have a day where I'm not focused on the work I have to do in this world. It's as though I've gone to the Garden of Eden. My work is taken care of. My food is taken care of. All I have to do is be with my family, learn Torah and Daven, and have a day of connection. Connection here, connection with God. Fine, I can understand the Mein Olam Haba. Yom Kippur, okay, I guess you could say that's another type of Mein Olam Haba. You totally sever your connection with this world. You don't have time with your wife, you barely have time with your kids, and you're only talking to God. Okay. V'afilu kol ha'moadim overim Yom Kippurim eino over. So this is another phenomenal line in the Medrash. The Medrash says, even if all the holidays will pass, Yom Kippur will not pass. What does that mean? So you understand this puts into question the Rambam's principle that the Torah is never going to change. If the Torah is never going to change, what does the Medrash mean? So you could say the Medrash is talking in exaggeration. Even if all the holidays would pass, Yom Kippur wouldn't pass. But it doesn't mean they really will. Okay, but there's a lot to discuss. The Rashba has a tshuva about this.
Why, if everything would,
That's the next line. We didn't read that yet. Why? That's the next line in the Medrash. The Rashba says that all the holidays don't have a promise connected to them. Meaning, it could be just like every prophecy is on contingent on you do your end, I'll do my end. So the holidays are a gift, and Hashem says, if you don't live up to your end of the deal, I'm not gonna live up to my end of the deal. And so it could be if a person sins that Hashem takes away the holidays. So till now the Rashba sounds like he's arguing on the Rambam, right? But then he quotes a pasuk. The pasuk says in Lamentations, "Shikach Hashem b'tzion moed v'shabbat." Hashem made the holidays and Shabbos forgotten in Zion. What's the verse talking about in Lamentations? It's talking about the fact that the enemies came and we weren't able to rest on Shabbos or the holidays. We were exiled. So if the Rashba means that what the Midrash means is that in the Holocaust, people couldn't celebrate Pesach. They couldn't celebrate Sukkot. Unfortunately, they could celebrate Yom Kippur. If that's, and maybe that's what the Rashba means, and maybe that's what the Midrash means. It's not arguing on the Rambam's principle. And remember, the Rambam had a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. That's one of the Midrashim the Rambam did have. It's not arguing on the Rambam's principle. The Torah is never going to change. The Midrash means, Kol ha-Mo'adim Ovrim, that if the Jewish people deserve a punishment and then they're in exile or they had the Holocaust, so they couldn't keep all the holidays, but there's one holiday they still could keep, Yom Kippurim in Ovir.
But Tisha B'Av also?
Tisha B'Av isn't biblical, say that. Shiyom Kippurim mechaper al hakalot v'al hachamurot. Why is it so important that Yom Kippur will be everlasting? Because that's the Day of Atonement. And if we're going with the Rashba's understanding, so then that's beautiful. At a time where we're suffering, that's when we need the kapara most. So Hashem says, okay, so I make Yom Kippur in a way that you could keep it regardless of what's happening.
The word is based on Yom Kippur, no? The word is standing on Yom Kippur.
That's what it said, yeah. It said that. The Midrash said that. The Midrash said, "V'ilulei Yom Kippurim lo haya olam omed." It said that. "Shenemar ki v'yom hazeh yechaper aleichem v'gomer mikol chatotechem mei chatotechem en k'tiv ela mikol chatotechem." So that brings on a whole other discussion, which is a discussion in the Gemara in Shavuos and in the Gemara in Yuma. Does Yom Kippur really atone for everything? Doesn't seem that way. A guy's a murderer. After Yom Kippur, don't take him to court. Yom Kippur passed, I'm clean. No, it doesn't seem to work that way. Yom Sheni... What? Okay. It just said, Mikol Chatotechem. So you'll tell me Chet is Shogeg. Who said it encompasses Mezid? Okay, so there's room to discuss. Okay, should we continue? We'll pause here to be continued.